Catch up. You never know who you're going to see at Bridgestone Arena.
That is very true.
Can you share? Was it someone famous?
It was not a coaching candidate.
As
it
far
wasn't
as you
anybody here for an interview and just going to take in a game tonight.
Mike Vrabel was not in the
It
building.
Was not Mike Vrabel. I don't even know Mike Vrabel. I remember him as a player. And that's the thing we were talking about a lot yesterday, Joe. I think it's virtually impossible to win the press conference. And I know it's not about winning the press conference. We always say that, right? But there is something to that. I mean, especially the Titans organization, it's in a little bit more of a – and it was not Adam Vinken who I ran into who just walked by.
Who's got another new haircut, by the way.
Yes.
He gets a new haircut every 3 days.
He lose the part?
He's got the line.
I think
he's got the line.
He's got the
head.
Line?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're not going to win it, but they are in a unique situation. Because, look, whether they want to admit it or not, whether they want to talk about it or not, it is an issue. And they have an attendance issue. And it's gotten a little bit better, but then it was pretty alarming at the end of the season with two really, really important games against really good teams, two playoff teams, and there were about 25,000 empties for both games. And that means you have a problem. If that's not a selling point in your market for two games like that with a team with everything at stake, then you have an attendance issue. And I don't know how much that's going to factor into the next coach, if any at all. But there is something to winning a little bit of a press conference. In the end, it's going to be about what they do on Sundays and what the win-loss record looks like. But I think it's virtually impossible with this list for anybody to go, oh, my goodness, they landed fill in the blank. Like, wow, I didn't think, whoo, now this thing's about to take off. Right, because we don't know anything about these guys other than poking around and talking to people.
Well, that's true. But when you talk about winning the press conference, Darren, I think you already will with a large section of the fan base because it's anyone but malarkey.
The malarkers.
The malarkers, but they're happy. They're rejoicing in the streets. And I don't know what percentage of the fan base that is, but I think a pretty healthy amount just – wanted him gone and believes that this roster is better than what we saw on the field and that whoever you bring in has to be an upgrade. And, you know, there was a lot of talk this year about the Rams, right? The Rams, that's sort of your right or wrong. People look at that and say, okay, so Jeff Fisher's there and Jared Goff and they're grinding their
and
terrible
Gurley,
offense.
Who was terrible last year.
Right. You know,
I had him in fantasy.
Great this year.
I know.
So then
I didn't
you
have him in fantasy.
So you bring in the hot shot offensive guy, and all of a sudden, boom, it blows up. Jared Goff is great, and look what they did with him. Now, Jared Goff may have developed like that for Jeff Fisher. I can't say he wouldn't have, but that's the narrative. So, like, if a guy like Matt LaFleur were to be the choice here, a lot of questions about that guy. He's young. He's never been a head coach. I have no idea. But I think in terms of winning the press conference, there'd be a lot of fans that would be excited and say, okay, this is going to be – you know, Rams East or 49ers with Kyle Shanahan. This is, you know, the next hot shot who's going to take Marcus to, you know, new frontiers. I mean, a lot of people will believe that. Now,
okay.
We'll find out the reality after that.
They probably, if they listen to the show, will not believe that because here's why. I'll read to you what I read yesterday on the show, okay? Because, as I said, we're not around these guys. We don't know. And most of these guys, unless you remember them playing, Frank Reich, Mike Vrabel, you have no idea. You know, Steve Wilkes.
I remember Frank Reich, 35-3.
Twice. He had two historical comebacks in college and
in
the
pros. That's
right,
Maryland. That's right, with the
Terps.
Maryland
against the U.
Yeah.
He did it twice. So, where did Matt LaFleur come from before L.A.? Where was he?
Well, he was with Matt Ryan.
Yes, he was the Falcons quarterbacks coach. So,
right. He's the reason Matt Ryan had an MVP season, right? Say that.
I've got somebody down in Atlanta I know that is well-tuned to everything. I trust what he says, and I just said, hey, you're around Matt LaFleur. He's on the list. What can you tell me about him? He said, well, I'm going to read you his text word for word. You're going to go from an old-school head coach to a guy who would know he wasn't ready, happy to have a job, and not really be in charge. Some GMs like that, though. He goes on to say, he'll need the right assistance. He certainly isn't nearly as regarded as Sean McVay in terms of acumen of football smarts. Hasn't paid those dues yet.
Sounds promising.
That's what he said. Look, you know, that's one person's opinion who was around him in Atlanta when he was the Falcons quarterback coach. I mean, he's given me – and I knew he would give me an honest assessment. He's got no reason not to.
Right, right. Yeah, it's interesting. Well, and that's – you know, it's also with this thing, I still – when you look at this list, and I agree with you, there's no one on this list that you're going to say, oh, they've done it. But there's no one on this list that I can say, no chance, no way. But it's most of the list of people who have not been a head coach. Some of them who have not called plays. Jim Schwartz, you know – some people would look at him and say, well, you don't want to retread. That's the if you've ever been a head coach and you've been fired, which is almost impossible not to do if you've been a head coach in the NFL, then you're a retread. But Jim Schwartz, to me, I watched pretty closely what he did with the Lions, which is an awful organization. It's Cleveland Browns-esque, and he did a pretty darn good job with them. And he's, obviously, we know, a terrific defensive coordinator. People know that from down here. We see it again with the Eagles. To me, he's a pretty intriguing candidate, but I sense that – if you were talking about winning the press conference, I think some of these other hot shots who are unproven because the unknown is undefeated would win the press conference more than a Jim Schwartz would.
Yeah, it's interesting. The AFC championship game is retread coaches. Not the case in the NFC. First-time head coaches. AFC, retread coaches.
That's right. Bill Belichick at one time. Fired by the Browns.
I know. I was there covering them. They took his suitcases to the city limits and said goodbye. Pretty amazing how different the organizations look, right? And in Cleveland, they couldn't wait to get rid of him. And in New England, you know, he's regarded as probably the best ever.
Belichick and his lame defensive coordinator, Nick Saban. And Doug Marrone, by the way, very close friend of Mike Mularkey, but a guy who has been, I think, regarded – a lot like Mike Mularkey has been regarded in this league. But now all of a sudden look at the Jaguars and I don't know, is it because they brought in Tom Coughlin? I think it's because they have one of the most talented defenses I've seen in a while in the NFL.
Well, it certainly didn't look like this before Doug Marrone, though.
Yes.
And it's like they just exploded in one offseason and they landed all these. Yeah, they added Calais Campbell. I get it, but it wasn't working with the previous regime. And Doug Marrone has come in. Which, oh, by the way, isn't a young, up-and-coming whippersnapper. He's 50 in his 50s. Belichick is not a young, up-and-coming whippersnapper. I mean, for that case, Mike Zimmer isn't a young, up-and-coming. I mean, I just think we get caught up so much in one example. Sean McVay,
yes.
One example. And Mike Zimmer is 61 years old. And now everybody's like, oh, you got to get the hot shot. Really? Huh. To me, this is the way I view it. Sean McVay may end up being a tremendous head coach. From last year with that regime to this year with him, does it look like a complete turnaround? Of course. Of course. Totally different. He looks like he knows what he's doing. But when I look at Sean McVay, I also say, if you live in, let's say, Chase, you live out in Bellevue.
Right.
If you live up north of town in Hendersonville or Gallatin, you live south of town, like me, in Smyrna and Murfreesboro, or you live over in Williamson County with Brentwood or Cool Springs or Franklin, and there's a brand new restaurant that opens up in your town, and everybody's talking about it. What are you going to do? You're going to go visit it, right? You're like, hey, you know what? It's a new restaurant. Everybody's talking. I'm going to go try the new restaurant out. Come back in a year and tell me how the new – you can go – I expect when everybody's like, everybody's going, well, yeah, it's new. Everybody goes and tries out something new. Come back in a year and tell me how
it's
doing.
Different.
So tell me how he's doing next year. Is it going to look like this next year? Is it going to be even better next year? I don't know. Maybe. Or does all of a sudden the Rams, they come, they're 7-9 season, and then guess what nobody's doing? Talking about how great Sean McVay is and the young and up-and-coming whippersnapper. Because all it takes is one season, mediocre season, and the shine is off, right? Because right now it's nice and shiny. It's the new restaurant. Let's go visit it. Let's check back in a year. Let's make sure that restaurant's really good. Because, you know, once you go, it's then can you sustain it?
Right. Yeah, no doubt. And you look at Doug Marrone, the funny thing about him is not only, as you said, I mean, he's been around and people think, ah, the retread totally applies to him before this, right?
Sure.
Look what he did last offseason. In a way, I looked at Jacksonville and I said, so they're basically kind of trying to play like the Titans. They went out and got Fournette. They said, we're going to be a power running team. We're going to give Blake Bortles help with a power running game. And, of course, you know, the big thing is they get Boye. The pick of Ramsey is a great pick. They now have, to me, the best two corners in the NFL, and boom. When you have corners like that, everything else with your defense is just enhanced. But they went stylistically like this old offense that we just have to get out of Nashville, you know, and it's worked okay for them. I mean,
honestly, Jacksonville and Minnesota are built exactly the same.
Yeah.
They're not reliant on their quarterback.
The four teams in this – and I know we get prisoner of the moment, just like you're talking about, and we can do it here too. But the four teams are 1, 2, 4, and 5 in scoring defense in the NFL. Those are the four teams left. And their quarterbacks include Blake Bortles, Case Keenum, and Nick Foles. That's a narrative buster.
That's called don't drop your mic, but that's the drop your mic moment. Don't drop it, though.
Adam right. Bingham looked impressed. You were impressed by that point, aren't you, Adam Bingham? Yeah.
I said it yesterday. I said I think John Robinson needs a different approach. I think he needs to start addressing the defensive side of the ball because when I look around at what's left and what's worked, it's defense. It's not reliant on – because, look, this is my feelings. I don't know how you feel. You tell me. You chime in here. I said yesterday, Marcus Mariota may be a really, really good quarterback. He's not going to be Tom Brady. He's not going to be Peyton Manning. He's not going to be Drew Brees. He's not going to be Aaron Rodgers. Those are the elite of the elite of the elite, right? Those are first ballot Hall of Famers. They're just generational, once in a generation maybe type
yes.
of guys, right?
Yes.
Everybody would love to have that. You can do things differently when you have an Aaron Rodgers or you have one of those guys. Marcus Mariota is not going to be that. Does that mean that he can't be good enough to win? No. Could he be a really good quarterback? Yes. But
you can win a Super Bowl with a really good quarterback.
But because of what's happening and what's been happening, you don't need those guys. Even though Tom Brady has been the standard and Peyton Manning, you don't need those guys. Drew Brees has won one Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers has won one Super Bowl. But you have to build it up with the defense. Look at Denver, how they did it with Peyton Manning his final year.
Yeah,
it was all about the defense.
That's a great point because people look at that team and say, well, it's Peyton Manning. But no, that wasn't Peyton Manning.
No.
That was limited end of his career Peyton Manning
with an unbelievable
incredible defense. No, the goal here is to win the Super Bowl. It's not to have the best quarterback rating. And I think there's a little bit too much hung up on that right now here. And I get it because his numbers went back, and, of course, the offense struggled as a whole this year. But it is about more than him. And I do think that John Robinson made that clear in his – if you go back and look at what he said, yes, of course, Mariota, very important. But he said other things that made me believe, well, he's not just hung up on going to get the quarterback whisperer right now. And I think that's smart because I think you have to be open to all possibilities. And if you're wide open in this search and you don't have a McDaniels that you know already and he's already going to the Colts and you've just got to rely on interviews and word of mouth, then I think you got to be open to all kinds of people.
I just think it's time to stop piling on the offense and addressing that constantly, which clearly they've done in the last 2 years. And it's time to start addressing the defense because if the less you're reliant on your guy being the end-all, be-all – which is if you keep piling on the offense and you don't address the defense, then you're asking Mariota to be the end-all, be-all. Like, everything is on your shoulders to win and to make a deep run. How about addressing the defense, take some pressure off, like Minnesota has done, where they are on their third quarterback. Case Keenum, he came in as their third-string quarterback, and they're in the NFC Championship game. If they win on Sunday, they're in the Super Bowl. By the way, they're going to be playing at home, which will be a pretty cool story, first time ever. Jacksonville's done the same thing. They have done this without relying on Blake Bortles. They've just told him, don't hurt us. Don't get us hurt. And if he does anything like he did in the Pittsburgh, look what happens. Anything. I mean, he wasn't spectacular.
Made some plays, though.
But he made some plays.
Yeah.
Just give us a little bit. And then we'll rely on our running game. Leonard Fournette, 3 touchdowns. Our defense, that even though they gave up 42 – but they still won, and their defense has been there all year. By the way, they went into Pittsburgh and beat them twice. That's kind of a big deal.
It's pretty good. Yeah, and you know, you mentioned Minnesota, and another parallel there too. You know, Minnesota with Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes, very high on that list of corner combos. And when I look at the Titans, I mean, there's a lot of things. They need another pass rusher. They need more in the front seven. You know, I think they need another safety to go with Byard. But the corner position is so important. And if you're really strong there in this league, the way the game's played now, you have to have those guys. And that's a question on the Titans, you know. Are they good enough? I think Adoree Jackson had a good rookie year. I didn't come away thinking this guy's going to be an elite corner, but I think he was good. I think he got better. So I think there's
upside. Not Jalen Ramsey good.
No, he's not Jalen Ramsey good.
He's not Lattimore good.
No, he's not. Right now, I mean, I think he can get better. I think you feel fine with him. Logan Ryan, I think he was a good pickup. They upgraded, but do you feel like they can go out there on anyone and play press coverage, press man, and take a really good receiver away? I don't know about that right now.
They made upgrades.
You have so many other needs, you know.
Calais Campbell, Malik Jackson, even Marcell Dareus late. Those were upgrades that made a difference for Jacksonville. It was almost like especially Calais Campbell. I mean, he was unbelievable this year. It's one thing to – you can plug in these guys that help you. It's another thing to – I mean, it's like Floyd Reese when he signed Kyle Vandenbosch.
There you go. Great player.
Kyle Vandenbosch came in here and everybody was like, okay. I mean, he was basically on the scrap heap. And look what he did. I mean, you got to find – every once in a while, you have to find those guys. It's not easy, but you have to find those guys. He also found the kid Tony from Memphis. Oh, my.
Look at that.
Peter Weber has struck again.
That's beautiful. That is
– speaking of mic drop and a walk-off, thank you, sir.
Wow. Is that an XL?
That is – he's done it again.
Humongous.
A humongous shake.
Wow.
Man. I'll have to get a picture of that. So we need to take a break.
Is that breakfast for you?
I've got some work to do. We'll come back. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to ask you. So I want you to think about this during the break. I want you to come up with a grade for John Robinson. You're the teacher, Professor Rexrode. What grade are you giving John Robinson to this point? Since he's been hired by the Titans, think about free agency, think about the draft. Think about everything that's been done on his watch and give me a grade and let's go through it and tell me why.
All right.
All right. We'll do that on the other side. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tonight it's the Predators and the Arizona Coyotes. They were just in Arizona. Remember, they kicked off this calendar year in Vegas and then Arizona on that Thursday night. So it was 2 weeks ago today they lost in overtime to Arizona. So they'll get another chance to right that wrong here tonight against Arizona. And they'll be Saturday night here against the Florida Panthers. So all week here in Smashville. Darren McFarland, Joe Rexrode, columnist for the Tennessean alongside. By the way, 7 o'clock. Puck drop. I'll have pregame starting at 6 right here on 102.5 The Game. And yet again, special thanks to the Hall of Famer, Pete Weber, for dropping off a 96-ounce chocolate milkshake to me. And there's no better day. He said, it's a great day for a shake. I said, it's always a great day for a shake.
That is.
Whether it's cold, warm, doesn't matter. Rainy, sunshine.
That is a beautiful thing.
Okay, I asked you going into the break to think about John Robinson's tenure here in Nashville with the Titans and to come up, Professor Rexrode, with a grade. Joel, do we have a drum roll?
Wait, don't give me a drum roll yet. I have a question for you before I give a grade. Are we also – we're taking into account the firing of Mike Mularkey?
Yes.
I mean, that's –
right. Everything on his watch.
Okay.
Everything on his watch counts. You don't have to, but
yeah, I mean,
it's on his watch, and it's his first move with a coach. So let's all gather out in the front yard like Chevy Chase in Christmas Vacation. So a little countdown waiting for the grade from Professor Rexrode on John Robinson is
– very scientific. I'm going to go B-minus.
B-minus.
And I'm taking half grade off, or I'm going from B to B minus on the firing of Mularkey, which Understand. I'm not saying this is a disastrous move. No way it works, but I do think it's a big risk. And I have to, until we see the next move and what happens and whether that move actually improves things, I'm taking off for that. I think it's probably an A after his first year, because I think, you know, when you talk about that trade, and yeah, I mean, I think the Rams, hey, I think it was a win-win trade. I mean, the Rams got Goff, and that's what they were trying to do, and it looks pretty good. But the Titans obviously did a lot of good things with that draft, starting with ending up with Conklin.
The trade for DeMarco Murray.
Getting DeMarco Murray. A lot of that draft looks really good. You know, it goes down, I think, in free agency last year, mixed bag. You know, I do think Logan Ryan was good. Obviously, you know, Sylvester Williams from Denver didn't do a lot. I'm not a big fan of Jonathan Cyprian. I think, you know, he's okay. I think they can do better there. And then in the draft, that's where it's hard to grade him, because you could go down.
It's a lot of incompletes.
I'm not burying Corey Davis right now.
Right, but you can't give Corey Davis an A.
No. I mean, it has to be an incomplete. The most recent draft class, I think you have to hold back.
You can't
back.
Give him an F. You can't give him an A for Corey Davis. It's an incomplete.
And Jonnu Smith and Taywan Taylor.
Yeah.
I mean, they did a lot of work to upgrade the weaponry, and we know how it turned out with this offense for various reasons, or for all malarkey reasons, if you choose. All malarkey Rubisky reasons. But still, I mean, it's been good. I mean, B is good. There's no question that it's been a good tenure. I mean, you have to give him a lot of the credit for the fact that you go from 5-27 to 19-15. And this is a good playoff caliber roster right now. And to do that in that short amount of time, I'm talking myself into a higher grade almost right now. But I'm sorry. I'm skeptical of the malarkey move and what will happen from here.
It's interesting, because I posed this question to Willie off the air yesterday, and we discussed it, and we said we were going to come back around to this today. And I told him I was going to pose the same question to you and to him later on. I said, do you know what my grade was? Well, he said, what would be your grade? You know what my grade was?
Same as me.
A B minus. And he said, what? That was his exact word. What? I was like, yeah. He goes, no, it's got to be higher than that. I said, no, it's not. It's a B minus.
So what was Willie's?
I think he was saying it's got to be at least a B.
B regular.
And I'm like, no, it's a B minus. And when you start looking over, I agree with your assessment. There's really not much I can add, because I think the first year, you know, I think the DeMarco Murray trade, even the DGB trade, which I was on board.
Great trade.
All along, I was okay with trading for Dennis Kelly.
Yeah, it's a good thing they've had him.
And Willie's had to admit he was wrong, because he was like, you can't trade away DGB. Because at that point, it really wasn't about me assessing, did I believe DGB was going to make it in the league? No, I didn't. Did I know anything about Dennis Kelly? No, just from talking to people in Philadelphia. But at that time, I knew what John Robinson was trying to do. He was trying to establish a certain culture, something that he had talked about from the get-go, from day one of hire, of establishing competition, right? That's a word we heard a lot, competition. And I think great teams do have competition for roster spots, and that breeds success when you have people that, aren't complacent with their job, that they're not, their belly's not full, that they're always, they stay hungry. And I thought that was a good move. And so I knew it was about changing. I knew the culture was bad before. I knew there were just a lot of guys on the roster that had no business being there. They just weren't good enough to be in the NFL. Nothing against them. They just weren't good enough. And you don't get to stick around because you're a swell guy. It's, can you help them win? So I think the first year, yeah, I agree. I just think it was – but, you know, now there's been some things that I think he failed miserably. Look, for all the praise I've doled out for him, I've been the most critical by far here lately. I mean, the botched backup quarterback, that's an F. That's a failure. That was an absolute failure. And coming into camp with those two as your only choices, that was a failure. The backup quarterback gets an F for, and he's going to have to address that in the offseason.
Yeah, like the first year, I mean, you think even like low picks, you got Tajay Sharp who comes in and makes a difference. You got LaShawn Sims. I mean, even like Kalen Reed is
right
on the team. I mean, Kevin Dodd is really the one thing you look at, and And, you know, obviously he is not. What's that? That's true.
Trotola
too. Good
was
point.
Bad.
Good point. Trotola too. Two of those. I mean, you're going to have those. Every draft, I mean, very few drafts you go through pick by pick, any team, any GM, and say hit, right? But, you know, even Derrick Henry at the time, we were kind of like, eh, Derrick Henry? But right now, you know, it was for now more than anything. So, but the second draft, I mean, you talk about Corey Davis and Adoree Jackson, 5 and 18. I mean, those guys have got to be – and I think Adoree Jackson's on his way, although I was disappointed in him as a return guy this year. I thought that's where the value of – because he went above where most people had him pegged, but I thought, well, the return game value there is going to make up for that. It didn't this year. Could it? I still think it could.
Oh, yeah. I think he lost confidence. That's what I think. He looked very timid toward the end, just very uncertain on what to do. And, you know, you can get that back. Most do. He's a confident guy to begin with. I mean, he's always played with confidence. When you don't have the frame that everybody's looking for and you're smaller in stature and everybody, you're kind of the underdog, so you have to play up things, and he'll get his confidence back. I think he lost confidence.
I mean, they leaned on him. They leaned on him heavily this year.
And there was nothing there. In fact, it became actually a little bit scary toward the end because you just weren't sure if he knew what to do, whether to pick it up, fair catch, let it go. I mean, it was a lot of uncertainty on but I think he can get that back. But you're right. For him to move up in a grade, because right now he does not look elite. Does he look like he can be a very good corner? Yeah. But he was a first-round pick. Now, he wasn't taken as high as Jalen Ramsey, but he's not going to be a Ramsey, Lattimore, those guys, the guys that make a difference at the corner position. But if he can add the special teams element where all of a sudden he becomes – a dual threat, his stock goes up.
Yeah. And I still think, you know, I mean, 1 year does not, you know, define a player. I mean, he can improve. I think he has the athletic ability, the change of direction, the speed, the compete. I was very impressed with him in run support and the way he competed and battled despite his size. But like you said, I mean, he just doesn't have the physical gifts that a Ramsey has to dominate someone out there. So, but that pick, you know, I think that pick has a good chance still of working out okay. The Davis thing is, I mean, to me, if there's one player who is absolutely on the spot, it's him.
It's affecting his grade. It's affecting his grade.
Yeah.
A little bit.
And
because
again, certainly injuries. I mean, you can't not talk about that. It's real. He had injuries, missed a lot of time, and he had the two touchdowns in the last game, which is encouraging. But this is a guy at five.
But he was the fifth pick overall.
At five, you dominate.
Yeah, you got to be.
You turn in 1,200, 1,500-yard seasons, and you are a clear number one and you're a star.
I mean, we talked about him the first game of the season and then didn't talk about him again until the end of the season and the playoffs. That's a pretty big gap.
Yeah.
And that's not enough to assess anything. I mean, that's very little to go on, which is why it's an incomplete. And I think if you go back the previous year, the three picks in the second round, which I think were critical picks. Right now, I don't know. I mean, we know Dodd is it's pretty – just going on 2 years, I mean, there seems like there's absolutely nothing there. I mean, it looks like it's not Dodd, it's Dud. Austin Johnson, Derrick Henry. I mean, are you willing to say for sure, even if this thing does get turned over to him, that he's absolutely the guy – you give him the ball 25 times, he's going to have a 1,400-yard season? I don't know.
I think he's got to be, and then I think, you know, we'll see what happens with Murray, but I think, you know, we talked about this. Then you find that right guy to pair with him as a young, you know, third down back, and, you know, you could have something. But, yeah, I think you've got to find out. And we saw everything with Derrick Henry. We saw the, you know, the hesitancy and the tentative running and the – you know, the kind of, as he said, softness in the Jacksonville game. And then again against New England, he didn't do much. Then we saw just the monster against Kansas City, north, south. I'm going to get 3 yards no matter what's in front of me, and then I might get 12. I mean, I think he's got all the potential in the world, but you still have to work on your craft and get better, and he's got to be a power back. That's what he's built to be.
It's hard to get really excited about the Kansas City game because 28 for 51 keeps coming back. And the New England game, just not a factor, but the 28 carries, 51 yards, 1.8. You know, It's like, okay, which one is it? Yeah. Which one is it going to be for a 16-game season? What is it going to be? I don't know. He could very well be a guy that can run for 1,300, 1,400 yards in a season. I'm just not positive yet. So you got one extreme where Dodd looks like a dud. Henry looks like it has much more upside, but still not positive.
Yeah, still a question.
Where do you have Austin Johnson? Is it just a flat C? Is it?
He's gotten better, though. Remember his rookie year, it was almost talking about him like Dodd.
I couldn't even remember his name.
Yeah,
I mean, what?
I think that actually.
Who's the kid from Penn State? That's what it was the first year. Who's the guy from Penn State they drafted in the second round?
Yeah, and then Daquan Jones, who was playing really well this year, gets hurt. And I thought Austin Johnson stepped up, and I mean, I think he's a good. Is he second round good?
The 43rd pick in the draft.
Is he 43rd pick good? No, he's not. But I think he's fringe starter quality right now. So that's something. It's not a complete disaster. I mean, Dodd right now, I don't know. Maybe the new coach brings in a 4-3 and Dodd puts his hand on the ground and I don't know. That's what he was.
That's what he was
at Clemson. But you know, that doesn't explain just his inability to get on the field and do anything. And I know he's had injuries too. That's a big part of this. Anytime you talk about draft busts, I mean, a lot of them are injury related, but that's the game. I mean, that doesn't mean they're not busts.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. By the way, I would have taken a B- all day in school, for sure. I would.
Yeah, man.
I mean, I'm cool with that. Like, I don't go home with my head down. B-, all right. Cool. I'm bringing my teacher.
That's a good grade. And
an apple or a card tomorrow. You know,
it'll be the grade will be seriously impacted. You know, not far from now when we find out who he's hiring as coach and what that is next year. I mean, because that is. Of all the player moves, this next move is it's like the final or whatever, the midterm that's 50% of your grade. I mean, it's a big, big chunk of it.
Yeah, because this is going to be his first hire, so a lot of value and weight is going to go into this when it comes to grading him. I mean, this is the thing I've been saying all week. I think it's almost really unrealistic and unfair to think, because the bar is set. If 2-9-7 seasons and the divisional round of the playoffs is not good enough, that means – and I get it. He brought up winning championships, and that's what fans want to hear. And John Robinson brought it up many times on Monday. It's about winning championships, and that's great. But if that's what you're saying, the next guy, that's his bar, like, okay, then you better be getting to conference championship games in the Super Bowl. That's a lot to ask. That's a lot of pressure to say that, you know, 9-7 probably won't be good enough. I mean, think about it. An 8-8 season, what are people going to say? Why are you going to get my arguing on that?
Now, people will also – because I think a lot of people are embracing this change, and they want anything but malarkey, and they're going to want to believe in the next coach. And next year, we've already talked about it. It is going to be a tougher schedule. It's going to be not just the – outside the division schedule, which includes the Patriots, by the way, coming in here, but the fact that the Colts are going to have Luck and the Texans will have Watson. So there's going to be a lot of talk of, and I would agree with this, if they could match this year with next year's schedule, that probably represents some kind of improvement. You know, so I think there's still a honeymoon period here, probably. It's never long in the NFL, but maybe a year. And, you know, when we talk about bottom line, if we went back to August and said Titans 9-7, you know, don't win the division, but 9-7, get in the playoffs, win a playoff game at Kansas City, go lose at New England 10-8. If you said that in August, there's not one single person who would say
nope.
Malarkey's fired.
Nope.
But it's not just the bottom line. It is week to week what you're watching on the field. And that's obviously, as the year went on, all we talked about is, oh, I guess they're winning the games, but, man, they look awful.
Well, if the first year is a honeymoon period, Joe, then what does that mean happened? Okay, what does that mean? So they go, what, 7-9?
Well, I think if
so, what happened in that? Like, I need to know, because I don't think there is a honeymoon period, because if you bring in a new coach and a new staff and they go 7-9 and everybody believes things were supposed to get better – what if the offense didn't get a whole lot better?
Well, then there's your question. See, that's what I don't know. I agree. So we're just talking bottom line here. But, like, if it's – let's say they go 7-9, but Mariota has way better stats and they lose a bunch of shootouts and it's, well, they need to, you know, do
the defense needs to get better. Yeah.
you know, maybe, you know, they should have had Dick LeBeau, whatever. But then I think it's more – it's easier for people to tolerate. And, yeah, then it's massive pressure on the next year. It wouldn't be more than a year. But, yeah, if it's like 8-8 or worse and the same stuff with the offense, then you're going to hear a lot of what, why do we do this? What's the benefit here?
Richard Deitch will join us in the second hour from Sports Illustrated, author of The Media Circus. We'll hear. We'll go down to Houston in the third hour. We'll talk about Mike Vrabel. He's going to be interviewing today. A lot more coming. Back to wrap up the first hour next on 102.5 The Game.
Back here on 3D ESPN 102.5 The Game, Chase McCabe, Joe Rexroad, live at the Jack Daniels Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. Darren McFarland has made his way downstairs to conduct his pregame interview that you will hear later tonight on the pregame show, which gets underway at 6 o'clock, puck drop at 7 as the Preds take on the Arizona Coyotes. So basically what has dominated sports talk radio the past few days has been the Titans coaching search. That's what you and Darren were referring to, and a couple things as I was sitting here listening. You know, I thought it was interesting that you gave the grade of B- to John Robinson in his tenure thus far. I have to agree with that, and I think that one thing that people kind of get caught up in praising him, and I'm not saying he's done a bad job. He's done an excellent job. But when you look at where they were and what he came into, I think that first year looks just so great. I mean, it's like when you've gone – from having 5 wins in 2 years, and then he makes the trade for DeMarco Murray, and he has that first draft class that, you know, still has some questions to be answered, but it just looks so good. I think people get caught up in that, and they get lost in it. And then after a year, you move into year two, and when things don't go quite as well, the free agency class isn't as splashy, there's not a big trade like he made in the first year, and then the draft class, everybody's like, oh, well, okay, I was expecting this every year. So I think people get caught up in that.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, you also, like, you change the expectations too, because, I mean, it really, you could look at this and just what you said, Chase, think of the dramatic difference and say that like, locks him into an A for 2 years because
right.
of – but that's not reality. Reality is you do something and then you become something and then the expectations change. And then you're judged on the next year. And, again, I mean, like Jonnu Smith, we're going through the last draft class. I think he's got a lot of upside. I don't hate that pick at all. I can see.
I don't either.
But he had a mistake-plagued rookie year. I mean, he's got to get better. He's got to – gosh, I swear, I use the term tighten up normally in daily life, and I use it way too much when I'm talking about this team. But that is exactly what he has to do. He has to – tighten up his game. And, you know, Taywan Taylor's – I don't know about that one. That one's tough because I think he has a ton of speed and talent. Also, I think Taywan Taylor – you talk to Taywan Taylor, man. He's an impressive kid. I think he wants to be great. He works at it. I think he's trying to do everything that they want him to do. He couldn't get on the field this year. So what does that mean moving forward? I don't know, but that's a pick that – That's a pick that needs to pay off for you,
yeah,
along with Corey Davis.
It's definitely got to pan out because, you know, we talked about this the other day. What's this receiving core going to look like going into this year? John Robinson now, if my math serves me correctly, now has 3 picks in this receiving core with Corey Davis, Taywan Taylor, and Tajae Sharp going back to last year. Tajae Sharp, of course, was out with injury all this year. We don't really know what he is. We've seen a very small sample size of what Tajae Sharp is. And now you add the caveat of it's going to be a completely different offense. Is that going to benefit these guys?
Yeah.
To your point on Taywan Taylor, I think that it was becoming clear that he wasn't grasping something. And there was something that the coaching staff wasn't happy about. They would try and run those sweet plays with him and use his speed. And that didn't really work. He had a touchdown catch during the year, but he was used very sparingly. And I think that they kind of relied on an Eric Decker, the veteran, a lot more. in that role. And so I am curious to see what year two is going to look like for him.
Well, another thing with Taylor, I mean, look, they in this past offense, no question that blocking is a premium at the receiver position,
yes,
too. So big physical guys, and they ask a lot, and that's just not him. I mean,
no.
Potentially, the move here could benefit him. And, you know, there are other offenses that don't ask that much blocking of the receivers. And so, yeah, who knows? It could be beneficial. I look at him and just the intangibles, and I still think he could definitely be an asset. And he's one of those guys. I hesitate. I'm not saying he's this guy at all, but it's the Tyreek Hill kind of thing if you could use him in that way. No one is as fast as Tyreek Hill or as explosive. Tyreek Hill from year one was the sweep guy, return guy. Here and there you throw in the ball. Year two, he became a legit outside receiver in the NFL. So that's, you know, Taywan Taylor has got a lot of individual work to do, and I wouldn't come close to closing the book on him yet.
615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in on the Titans head coaching search. Let's go to Chad in Hendersonville. Chad, welcome in.
Thank you all. You talk about this offense and what it really needs and that being the issue, and of course the number one factor is no-brainer, Captain Obvious, Marcus. You look at what Pat Shurmur's done with Case Keenum, who arguably, if his last name is not Keenum on the back of his jersey, he's probably the MVP of the entire season. People can't grasp that his last name is Keenum. But based on the way he has played and what Pat Shurmur has done with him, then you tie in the Vanderbilt tie, his son, starting quarterback at Vanderbilt. Of course, that'll only be for 2 more years. But for 2 years, it's a heck of a story for bringing the family together. And then I just think if you add up all the variables and everything that everybody's looking for, Pat Shurmur, by far, to me, is the top coaching candidate. If you want a home run hire, that's it. And on the backside of that, you know, Josh McDaniels had so much baggage in Denver. When he was hired in Denver, he couldn't even get players to come to this. Something about his personality couldn't even get players to come to the facility. Jay Cutler, who at that time, pre-diabetes, was worth 3 or 4 number one picks, they couldn't get him in the building. They had a tight end, Tony Scheffler, wouldn't come to the building. These guys never came to the building when he became the head coach, and they had to trade him both, and they went from Jay Cutler to Kyle Orton. So there's a major personality issue there. There's a major control factor. And when the Denver Broncos fired him 1.5 years later, the entire organization and front office and everybody associated literally threw a party. So that name scares me, and Pat Shurmur's on the top of my list.
Chad, appreciate the call. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, it looks like neither of those names are in play anyway, but yeah, the Shurmur thing would be fun around
yeah.
here.
And I think
one
he
more
has
year.
1 year.
Yeah,
one
yeah year. Kyle's a senior this year.
It looks like Pat Shurmur is going to be headed to the Giants and Josh McDaniels headed to the Colts, and that is the problem in the timing of all this.
Is it the blessing? When I speak of McDaniels, is it the blessing?
Right.
Red flags galore.
I have said this openly. When you look at the two coordinators for the Patriots, Patricia's the one I would want. I don't want McDaniels. I remember Denver – That was a terrible hire at the time, and he's coached Tom Brady. So I don't know if he would really be the one, and he's going to have Andrew Luck, and we'll see how that turns out. Yes, he's going to be in the division, and I could be completely wrong.
Yeah.
But looking at Matt Patricia and the job he's done running that defense and studying under Bill Belichick, I think of the two, he would be the one that I would want to have. It looks like he's probably headed to Detroit. As for Pat Shurmur, he's a guy that has some head coaching experience with the
Speaking
Browns.
Of retread, I mean, ask Cleveland fans. When he was running out of town there, they were like, oh, this guy's the worst head coach ever. You know what I mean?
Well, look what he's done
yeah.
as the offensive coordinator.
No question.
I mean, he has definitely made a huge impact with that Vikings offense, and I think he could possibly be an example. And I actually made a list, but you see guys that are retreads in the league, and when they get that second, sometimes third chance, it tends to go a lot better than the first time around. Bill Belichick is a prime example. People forget Pete Carroll, before he was at USC, guess where he was?
He was a bust in the Northeast.
With the New England Patriots.
The guy they got rid of to get to Belichick.
So he had you know, his time in the NFL, and of course Andy Reid is one. John Gruden has had a couple of different stops. So the second time around will work out sometimes for some of these retreads. I think Pat Shurmur could fall in that category. if he is able to, you know, work with Eli Manning in the last few years of his career and then find the quarterback of the future for the New York Giants. He is Joe Rexroad. I'm Chase McCabe. When we come back here on 3D, I have a question for you about the philosophy of this team when it comes to the new head coach. I want to get your thoughts on that. We'll continue to take your calls at 737-1025. It's 3D, ESPN, 1025 The Game.